ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay, so Sudama Matari, you are there. Swati Matari, you are there. And Rajiv Prabhu and who else? Okay, some devotees will be joining late, I think. Sudama Matari, are you there?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, so you had a question about... Mahatattva. So you,
yeah.
So can you ask the question?
Yeah, because it has been told in Bhagavatam that 2.5.33 that it is there in one corner of the spiritual sky, Mahatattva. But in that universe, that under that structure, that the seven, this one, that also the last one is Mahatattva. So how can relate this to?
Yeah. So the question is that the universal shell has seven layers, and one of the layers is Mahatattva. And at the same time, it is also said that Mahatattva is actually lying at one corner of the universe, spiritual universe. I mean, the spiritual world. So that obviously we know that that one corner is actually the material world, which is 1/4 of the Lord's total potency. And 3/4 is actually the spiritual potency of the Lord. So how Mahatattva is described in one corner of the spiritual world, at the same time it is also one of the layers. Yeah. So see, so I will explain you the Sarga, this creation, the process of creation in the beginning, which is... the ultimate cause of creation is actually Lord Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Karunavakshaya Vishnu. And this Karunavakshaya Vishnu is lying at the Viraj River. He is basically resting on the Viraj River. And this Viraj River is borderline between the spiritual and material world. We know that. Now, so we'll go sequentially. Actually, you have to refer. See, there are certain things which are still not clear. Even after going through, like, you know, I have seen all these videos of Bhagavad cosmology, and I have also read the book. But I also have certain questions which are not yet clear. And I will, you know, in the process of explaining this phenomena, I will also share what questions I have. So, you know, this universal creation, it's a big topic. And it involves a lot of research. Okay. So now see what happens is Mahavishnu, he already has, see, the question is that is the material world eternal? That is the question. Is the material world eternal?
It's manifest and unmanifest.
Yeah, okay. So when we talk about material world, generally we refer to the creation, right? We do not refer to the unmanifested state of the material elements, okay? But actually, the material world is consisting of two parts. One is unmanifested state, and the second one is manifested state. Okay, so now the unmanifested state is always in the body of Mahavishnu. It is eternal. It is always there. So that's why material world is eternal, and it is not eternal also, because in the unmanifested state, it is always there. and in the manifested state, it is created basically. So Pradhan, so you know the Pradhan, it is actually eternal, which means that Pradhan, whenever the material annihilation takes place or the creation is destroyed, that time we cannot say that the material elements are not there. It is not there in the sense that we cannot see it because it is wounded up. So just like, you know, we know the spider, he will create a web, okay? And when he wants, he will withdraw that web again inside his body. So similarly, in the same similar fashion, Mahavishnu also, when he wants to create, so he will glance over the Pradhana. So Pradhana is actually the unmanifested state of the material elements, which means that the material elements are not yet manifested, but they are in a hidden form, unmanifested state, okay? So when Mahavishnu glances over Pradhana, when he wants to create, so that time, see, this Pradhan state is a state of equilibrium. So, like, you know, if you have, I think, you know, all the devotees must be knowing science to some degree. So we know that whatever is balanced, in a balanced state, whatever is undisturbed, that is actually, it's, you know, whatever is stable. So it is actually, whenever you have certain things which is stable, which is balanced, which is not disturbed, then it is in the state of equilibrium. We know that, right, from science. But when the same thing is actually disturbed by an external agency or a force, then it becomes unstable. So similarly, when Lord is glancing over Pradhana, that time the Pradhan is actually, Pradhan gets disturbed. And it basically, from an equilibrium state, it goes to a non-equilibrium state. Okay? And that means that the Pradhan will manifest in terms of material elements or the Mahatattva. So this is called Mahatattva because see, Pradhan is expanding, so that time Pradhan will expand in three forms. In the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, and in the mode of ignorance. Okay. So this non-equilibrium state in the mode of goodness is called the Mahatattva. In the mode of passion, it is called the Sutra Tattva. Okay. And in the mode of ignorance, it is called Ahankara. Okay. Now, this Ahankara, which is the totality of the Ahankara of the all in the entire universe, this Ahankara is actually also further divided into three parts, which is Ahankara in the mode of goodness, Ahankara in the mode of passion, Ahankara in the mode of ignorance. Okay, so we are starting with, okay, so now this glance of Mahavishnu on Pradhan consists of three things. It consists of Kal. Kal means what? Time. It consists of Karma. Karma means the totality of karma of all the jivas. And it also consists of Swabhav. So it consists of Swabhav of the jivas, totality of the Swabhav of all the jivas. So these three things, they are injected into Pradhan. And so you can say it's an external agency through which Pradhan is disturbed. And that Pradhan is then transforming into more of goodness, passion, ignorance. It becomes manifested. So this manifested part in the mode of goodness is Mahatattva. In the mode of passion is Sutra Tattva, and then in the mode of ignorance is Ahankara. Now this Ahankara further gets divided into three parts. Ahankara in the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. Okay, we have discussed this till now. Now, Ahankara in the mode of goodness consists of mind. It consists of mind. It consists of the 10 sense devtas. Okay, and I will explain to you what is that 10 sense devtas. So this is Ahankara in the mode of goodness. Okay. Ahankara in the mode of passion consists of intelligence, prana, and 5 karmendriyas and 5 jnanendriyas. Are you all able to follow?
Yes, brother.
five knowledge acquiring senses, five action acquiring senses. You know, karmendriyas and ganendriyas. So 10 senses plus intelligence and prana. This is in the mode of passion. And the last one in the mode of the ahankara and the mode of ignorance is consisting of the panch mahabhutas or the gross elements, the five gross elements and the corresponding five tanmatras, corresponding tanmatras of the five gross elements. So this consists of 10 elements. Okay. So now you have got mind, 10 sense devatas, that is one in the mode of goodness. You have got intelligence prana, and then you have the panch karmendriya, panch gyanendriya, which is 10, and intelligence is, you know, also intelligence along with prana. This is in the mode of passion. And then in the last ahankara, you have got, the, in the mode of ignorance, you have got the panch mahabhutas and the panch tanmatras. Okay, so 10. So now, if you count, so now see what happens. So, okay, so we have started from the glance of Mahavishnu and how this entire material world is created. So finally, it gets to this point where these elements are created. Okay, so now the acharyas have explained that these are like the 24 elements. Because if you count the five karmendriya, five gyanendriya, five the panch mahabhutas and the panch tanmatras, that becomes what? How much? 20. Right? Then the remaining four are mind, intelligence, chit and mahatattva. Okay, so basically you can also think like this, that there is the gross body, there is the subtle body, and then there is the chit or the consciousness along with that, right? So mind, intelligence, ego and the consciousness with that. So that becomes 24 elements. Okay, so this entire phenomena consists of 24 elements. Now what happens when these 24 elements are created? They are in their individual states, means they are alone. Okay, and after they are created, okay, I wanted to explain that 10 sense devatas. So now see, because we have 5 gyanendriyas and 5 or the 5 karmendriyas, knowledge acquiring senses and action performing senses, you know. So as we know, you know, whatever knowledge you acquire through the nose, through the mouth, through the eyes, through eyes, through nose, through ears, you know. So these are the 5 gyanendriyas from where you acquire knowledge. Okay, and the karmendriyas are the ones like hands, legs, you know, all these things. So these are the ones which are responsible for action. Okay, you acquire knowledge and then you act on that. So we have karmendriyas, gyanendriyas. Now these karmendriyas, gyanendriyas, they have their controlling devatas. So for each and every part of the body, the devatas are also responsible. They are the deities for these senses. And they are the ones who are actually controlling the senses, or they are empowered to control the senses. So they can actually influence the senses. Okay. So these are the 10 devatas corresponding to the karmendriyas and gyanendriyas. So now what happens? See, in this particular 24 element list, there is no 10 sense devatas, because devatas are obviously, you know, they are not a part of the material elements. In the sense, you know, like they are like presiding deities. So we don't count them in the list of 24 elements. Okay. So these 24 elements, they will actually pray to the Lord that since you have created us, see, please remember one thing, that material elements are also conscious by nature. So they also desire to serve the Lord, and they pray to the Lord that kindly engage me in your service. So then what happens? The Mahavishnu, he will enter in these elements in the form of Paramatma, and then he becomes a cohesive force for these 24 elements. So what he will do? He will enter in everyone's heart as Paramatma, and then he will bring all these elements at one place. So he will bind them together. So like initially we had 24 elements, now it becomes a one big Brahmanda or Hiranyagarbha. Okay. Like Brahmanda means, you know, generally the shell, universal shell. Okay. It's in the form of the egg shape. So this this shell is actually covered by seven layers. And this seven layers, it is made up of these 24 elements. So that's how we get this earth, water, fire, air, ether as one of the five coverings. And then they have this five chidya and mahatattva. Okay, so these seven layers, they are consisting of 24 elements. So that's how, because see, these individual elements, they are praying to the Lord. So once Paramatma enters into their, you know, this thing, then he will bind all of them together, and then it will create millions of universes. So this each and every universe is like a egg-shaped shell, and these are covered by these 24 elements, and in the form of seven layers. Now some even say that, you know, like the universe has eight layers. So like some say that it has seven layers. So it depends on the explanation of the acharyas. So in general, I think the Bhagavatam explains that it has seven layers. But this is how it is actually. You know, this is actually the fundamental principle of how Mahatattva is actually one of the coverings of that shell. It's one of the layers. So, does this make sense, Mataji, to some degree?
I have to hear it once more, recording.
Yeah, you can see, I think it will be better if you watch that Bhagavad Cosmology videos, you know, because videos will be more clear. I mean, whatever I've said, the same thing is also here in that video, because obviously I'm repeating the video lectures only. But maybe you will get something out of it, because you can see it in the video. And see, now the only question is that, now you know, the question is that, why only earth, water, fire, air, ether? You know, see, because we know, because we can actually understand the karmendriyas, the jnanendriyas, the, you know, and the tanmatras, they are actually not playing any role. You know, as long as the material elements are not there, these things cannot exist, right? Because we need earth, water, fire. Our body itself is actually made up of earth, water, fire, air, right? We know that. So five karmendriyas, jnanendriyas, and then tanmatras, it's all corresponding to the panch mahabhutas. Right? So that makes sense. You know, it is logical that these five elements should be there. And then obviously we have this false ego. Because ultimately, you know, it is covered, our, and you know, this consciousness is covered by false ego. So false ego will be there. And then Mahatattva is actually, so now, you know, some will say that Mahatattva is also there. And then, you know, we have this mind also, or consciousness also, chit, you know, that is also a part of that, one of the layers. Okay, so because Mahatattva was there in the beginning, you know, it's an element, Ahankara is there. So Ahankara is actually, it is called as false ego. So we have the element of false ego and we have the element of Mahatattva. So this constitutes the 24 elements in one sense. I mean, you know, the main responsible are the Mahatattva, the Ahankara, and the Panch Mahabhutas. So that's how our universal shell is actually this, you know, it is covered with seven layers. Okay, so now if any devotee, they have any question or any comment.
This unmanifested manifested Prabhuji is related to, is it said that Vishnu is breathing, and when he breathes in, everything is unmanifest, and when he breathes out, then it manifests again. Is it so?
Yeah. So this manifestation and unmanifestation takes place in the time cycle of the breathing of Mahavishnu. So what is the time period, you know, for a human being, you know, if you breathe in, breathe out, hardly it is like fraction of a second. So just imagine the entire time scale of breathing in and breathing out for Mahavishnu, it might be like a fraction of a second for him. But in the universe, it seems that we have spent billions and millions and billions and trillions of years. I mean, practically unlimited amount of time. So that's the reason we have this concept of Nitya Baddha. Because actually the time becomes eternal when it reaches the material platform. But when you go to the spiritual platform, the time becomes zero. So practically for Mahavishnu, this is all a matter of seconds. As we know, you know, for Brahma, one moment of Brahma is like 1 year in Krishna's Vaidya Leela. We know that from the Brahma Vyoman Leela, right?
Yeah.
So then what to speak of, and still this Brahma is actually in the material world, and Mahavishnu is actually beyond the material world, beyond even the coverings of the universal shells. So he's lying in Viraj River. So you can actually imagine, you know, time switches backwards and everything becomes zero. So practically if you enter the spiritual world, time is not there only.
Right. So I was just wondering, because Lord Vishnu is in the spiritual world, he's got a spiritual body. That body does not really need to breathe. Breathing is only associated with material body. So then why would Lord be breathing?
Yeah, so his breathing is different from our breathing, because we breathe to in order to live. But he is breathing just as a pastime. You know, because wow. And the question is that why we are breathing? Because the Lord is breathing. So man is made in the image of God. Right? So that's the reason he is also.
He's the cause and we are the effect.
Yeah, exactly. So we are also made in the image of God, and that's why, you know, we breathe. But the only difference is that our breathing is you know, it is cause for our living. But the Lord's breathing is transcendental.
Right.
And he can hold his breathing for unlimited time. He does not have to breathe out. You know, that's the difference. But just as a pastime, you know, in order to create the spiritual material realm, he breathes out. And these universes are coming from the pores of Mahavishnu, basically. The pradhana is actually coming from the pore of Mahavishnu, basically, and by the glancing of that, it is manifested into this material world. So see, when we say in the beginning that Mahatattva is there, then, you know, see, and so you have to always know that it is referred to as Mahatattva because it is the manifested form of the pradhana, which is called as Mahatattva. And that's the reason it is called that Mahatattva is there in one corner of the universe. But actually, this is a sequential process where we also get the Shutra Tattva and we also get the Ahankara from, you know, the Pradhana. Because Mahatattva is in the mode of goodness. Okay. So these three other two things are also there. And the Ahankara is further divided. So now these elements are present in their individual states. And, you know, so obviously all of them combine when Paramatma enters. So this Paramatma is Mahavishnu. And he will actually combine them all, and then he will divide into. And so what he does is basically, so see, like for example, you are collecting different juices from different places, and you are mixing at one place. And then what you do, you divide the entire juice, you distribute the juice to others, to everyone. So now what everyone will get, they will get the combination of all these juices, right? So similarly, when each and every universe, it is distributed, but because it is mixed in the beginning, so then obviously all these elements will be there in all these universes. So these seven layers are the fundamental elements for the cause of the different, you know, coverings of the jivas. And then what happens? Once these universes are created, so this is, see, what this creation is basically the sarga part of the creation. Okay, and the Visarga portion starts, this is the secondary creation starts after Brahma is born. Brahma is praying to the Lord, and you know, like finally he gets inspiration, he sees the Lord, and then he gets inspiration and then he creates. So that is the the Visarga portion of the creation, secondary creation, and this is the primary creation. Now what happens, see, after this universal shells are created, then Vishnu in the form of, he expands into the form of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and then he will enter each and every universe, because without the presence of Paramatma, there is no question of anything which can be sustained. So then, in order to sustain these universes, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu will enter in the form of Paramatma. Okay, and then what he does, you know, he creates half of the portion of that universal shell through water, he will cover that, and then the half is space. Okay, and then he will rest down because he's tired, he will sweat, and that from the sweating, the entire ocean is created, Garbhadakshaya ocean, and he will rest on that ocean, and from his navel, this stem will come up, and along with the stem, there is a petal, you know, the petal of the lotus flower, or the leaf of the lotus flower, which is actually right at the border of the Garbhadakshaya ocean, and half above that leaf is the stem of Brahma. So after that, the Brahma is, you know, coming, and then he creates. So again, you know, now this entire stem is divided into 14 planetary system. So Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, you know, he is doing that basically. Okay, so we have this universal form of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu in each and every universe, and then we also have this universal form in each and every elements at the beginning of creation. Right? So like that.
So Prabhuji, since there is infinite universes coming out from the pore of the Lord, but then as it is said that we are all made in the image of God, that means in all these various universes, all those intelligent jivas are having similar look and structures of the limbs and face, and I mean essentially the basic is the same. So there is, even if those aliens are there out in the outer space, they would probably have the same kind of structure only in that case, isn't it?
They will, yeah, so they acquire the body according to their karmas and swabhavas. That's the reason the Lord also is injecting. Now see what happens, each and every universe, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, what he does, because Mahavishnu is injecting all the some totality of jivas into the pradana. Okay, and when it is agitated, then it converts into mahatattva. But then after that, when the universal, you know, the shells are created, after that Garbhadakshaya, what he does, he will pick up certain jivas from that totality of jivas, and he will inject into his particular jivas, and each and every Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he will do the same task. So they will pick up group of jivas from the totality, and they will inject into their universe. So that way, the totality of living entities, they are divided into all these universes, which are like obviously unlimited.
Correct, but they will be having the form in as in one of those, because let's say another, the human form is also in 4 lakh varieties are there, right, Gopali?
Yeah, so see, now this... See, first of all, we have to understand one thing, that the first living entity is basically Brahma. Now, before Brahma, no living entity is created till that point of time. So Brahma is actually assigned the responsibility to create and give the desired body or a particular body to the jiva according to that karma and swabhava. Now, obviously, this karma swabhava is coming from the Lord that Brahma is not aware of. So that karma and swabhava is actually... the knowledge is revealed to Brahma, and then you know he creates the jivas according to, he has the responsibility to assign body to the jivas according to their karma and swabhava.
Right.
Yeah. So I hope that everyone is able to follow. So what I will do is, you know, I will send one picture, that flow chart or the, you know, a table which will have these divisions you know, the sequential process, how this universe is created. So I will send you, and you can just go through it. But I think, you know, without seeing the videos, without reading through the eyes of the sadhus, it's very difficult to grasp this concept. You know, like for someone who is hearing, you know, for the first time, I think this will not make so much sense to them. Or maybe they have a tough time to understand this. So it is again, you know, very important to see those videos right from the beginning. There are 40 videos. And if you see it, then you will actually really understand it.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Okay. So any other devotee, do they have any comment or question? Is Anju Mataji able to join? Is she going to join?
Not yet joined,
okay. And yeah, so see, in case if you like some devotees, you know, if they are leaving early, then please make sure that to hear the recordings, not to miss the remaining portion.
Sorry.
Okay, yeah. So any question from this, the concept of Mahatattva? Sudhama Madhavi, is this clear?
Yeah, to some extent, Prabhu.
Yeah, so you have to take that Mahatattva as an individual element, and that's how you will actually understand it's a covering of that universal shell. Okay. Okay, I wanted to ask you about last class we were discussing about different devotees taking this responsibility to read Prabhupada's books regularly. So how many of you have started, and whatever you had committed, you are actually following that now? How many of you have started?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Huh?
Yes.
Chintamani Madhavi, you started?
No.
Okay, good. So what are you reading? Are you reading Nectar of Devotion? I don't remember what I was in a
study. No, I said Krishna book.
Krishna book, okay. And what about other devotees?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yeah, that Vandana Matari.
Yeah, I'm reading NOD Prabhuji, but since we are traveling, the last 3 days, 4 days, I'm not able to read it.
Okay, so now.
Reading last when we decided, so I was reading regularly.
Okay, so it is good you have started. But still not acceptable, because whenever you are traveling, you have to read it. Wherever you are, whichever place you are, you have to read it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that is, because see, this traveling process and all that, it will go on. And
I thought I read on my mobile, but somehow I'm not able to read it. So next time I'll carry my book with me.
Yeah. So make sure, see, what you can do, I will tell you a simple thing. If you are reading, let's say, you know, Nectar of Devotion, or let's say, for example, Chaitanya Charitamrita or Bhagavatam. So you know that the book is very heavy. Okay. You don't have to read from the book when you are traveling, because, you know, we have to take care of the back also, right? So what you do is, you can just copy paste.
Mm.
Like, you know, you just copy paste and put in your mobile. Paste everything in your mobile, in the Word file, and then read it. I'm reading 3 books in my mobile. So convenient. See, I have the habit of reading multiple books at one time. So for me, it is not possible to carry all the books all the time. And obviously, it will be so heavy also. But traveling also, it's a big, this thing. So since many years, I've decided that whatever books I'm reading, if the soft copy is available, then I will always read in the phone only. In fact, I prefer to read on the phone only. Because even if you carry the, if you read the book holding on your hand, it will have some weight. And you can't read it for more than half an hour because of that weight. Mm-hmm. So it is always best, to read on the mobile. Best technique. Yeah, and traveling also, no problem of no bothering of internet. Nothing. If you can just somehow copy and paste it, then it's done.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. What about Raji Prabhu and Madhuri?
So, Prabhuji, before the trip was to start, because the trip was on the card, so I had the project. I had a lot of this project commitment due to which I have been coming very late and leaving the morning. So I have not been able to settle down in that reading routine yet. But like you said, while traveling, if this mobile thing can be used, copy paste.
Yeah. One more thing is there that now whatever you are going to take up, you have to also plan and include long-term goals in that, which means that you must be knowing that you will be traveling, and you are also aware and you know that you have a busy schedule, but somehow you have to fit in that schedule, you have to fit the reading of Prabhupada's books. So it is not, because the problem what happens is, devotees are not thinking on a long-term basis. They are thinking, okay, now I am at home, Yeah, it is possible to read. But we are not just talking about a few months of reading. We are talking about lifetime of reading. Okay.
Lifetime of reading.
No. That I won't say because, maybe for myself I can say lifetime of reading, but other devotees, I'm not sure. So maybe many of you might be going back to there in one lifetime. So at least one lifetime of reading for all of you. And it's a lifetime commitment, basically. Okay, lifelong commitment. So you have to, now you have to think that this is your food. You cannot stay without your food.
Correct.
So you have to fit, you have to fit like that in your schedule. What about Angel Mataji?
I'm not
doing
anything.
Actually, I knew, because you are not answering anything. So I really understood that, because devotees who have started reading, they themselves start saying that Prabhuji have read. But those who are quiet, so we can understand that it has not been started yet. Okay. Anyways, I will be meeting you, when you come back. So that time we'll see. What about Sudhami Mataji?
Now I am reading Bhagavad Gita Prabhu. So after finishing that, I will start Nectar Devotion.
Okay, good. Wonderful, Mataji. Yeah, so Sudhami Mataji has been very consistently, steadily reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And I think Ujjwala Mataji also. So, good. No, that is a nice, wonderful example. Nirvika, you are there?
Yeah.
Okay, so Nirvika has done Bhakti Shastri and she is currently doing Bhakti Vaibhav. So, are you also reading Prabhupada's books every day?
Yeah, I have to read it.
Good, wonderful.
Even for my writing, my answers and everything, it is required. So even if I don't want to, I still am doing it. But anyways, it is very good. I've already read Canto 2, but I'm reading it again, so it's really very refreshing and nice to read it again. So, that is
great. Good. Yeah, so which books you have read till now?
So, most of the small books of Prabhupada's Science of Self-Realization and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, I think last 4 or 5 chapters, I think I left. Bhagavad Gita I've read. Bhagavatam, Canto 5, currently I'm doing as part of my otherwise reading, apart from the Canto 2 that I'm reading for only for Bhakti Vaibhav's purpose. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's in chapter 7 of Adi Leela. And I'm still in Adi Leela only. But because I'm a bit caught up with Bhakti Vaibhav, I'm currently not able to read Chaitanya Charitamrita right now. But so, like, mostly I'm just reading Bhagavatam only right now.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so it is very important to sequentially read all these books. And obviously, see, definitely, you know, this Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, of course, all these things are there. But, you know, obviously the idea is that we want to read Prabhupada's book in a sequential way.
Mm-hmm.
And not just like focus on certain parts of the Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhav. And not read sections from here and there. So it is always best to finish one thing at one time and then go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So now I started Bhagavatam for the third time and I'm about to finish the second canto now. I think I'll be finishing maybe in like, well, I'm probably in 3 months or something, 3 or 4 months. I don't remember when exactly I started, but I think, yeah, maybe I started in February or something. February, March, April, May, June. So yeah, 3 to 4 months, you know, I'm about to finish second canto. So maybe in 2 years or something, I'll probably finish the entire Bhagavatam. And Vaishnajika Prabhu has given, a list of books to be read in number of years, in number of months. So it is like, you know, he is mentioning the number of pages one can read every day so that they will finish in this much amount of time.
Prabhuji, he has
written
41 pages, I think.
Yeah, I think for 2 years, I think he has mentioned 20 pages and 41 pages for 1 year.
1 year, okay.
20 pages a day for the Bhagavatam. Okay, this is, we are talking about Bhagavatam. In 2 years probably. So maybe probably I'm reading 20 pages or more. I don't know. You know, I'm like doing it verse wise. Or maybe you can say, you know, a maximum time limit for me. That because I read multiple texts at one time. So I cannot go beyond a certain point of time because then I won't be able to do justice with other books. So yeah, but it's very important to go step by step, you know, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and then canto by canto, and finish the entire thing. And at no point of time, I think devotees should be remaining without reading Prabhupada's books. In the end, it's a lifelong task, basically. I give example of some Prabhupada disciples, like Praladanand Maharaj, he is one of the GBC. He has read the Bhagavad Gita 150 times. Can you imagine that? 150 times, the Bhagavad Gita, same. Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Dhrut Karma Prabhu, he had taken a vow of reading Prabhupada's books when he was quite young in Krishna consciousness. You know, like, during Prabhupada's time or maybe just after that. He took a vow that he will be reading all 4 books of Prabhupada in 1 year. So can you imagine he has read these 4 books 40 times till now. in 1 year, he had, you know, taken a commitment that he will finish 4 books of Prabhupada every year. So he is doing that. 40 times he has read Prabhupada's books. I believe that definitely, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, and I'm not sure if the CC or the TLC, because Prabhupada, you know, mentioned teachings about Chaitanya, but I don't know if he has read CC or TLC. I'm not sure about that. But I heard this from Shivram Maharaj's podcast, that Dhruva Karma Prabhu, you know, he has read these 4 books 40 times. You know, because 40 years means 40 times. So can you imagine what is the depth of Prabhupada's books? A person can keep reading them again and again, and then realization and knowledge is ever ending. Right? So every time you get a fresh new experience from reading Prabhupada's books. So these are some very dedicated exemplary examples, very ideal, you know, examples. So at least what we can do is, you know, we can at least start one book, finish off that book, and then go ahead. At least one book we can do. So we don't commit that, okay, we'll do 4 books at one time, but one book we can do at one time, finish that book, take the second one, take the third one, and then if you finish all these 4, then again go back to the first one and start reading again the sequence. So whether you are reading Prabhupada's books or, you know, whichever books you are reading, you keep repeating them throughout your life. So that way you will be in contact with Prabhupada's purpose. Okay. Swati Madhuri, are you there? Okay. So any...
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you also reading Prabhupada's books?
Yes, Prabhupada.
Which one?
I'm reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. On like regular page.
Okay. Together.
Duration. Few pages. Yeah.
2 pages every day.
Few pages I'm reading. Yeah.
Few pages. Okay. Yes, of both Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes, sir. NOD I haven't started.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's good. Yeah, but you know, the most important thing is you have to be steady in what we are doing, and we have to finish one thing at one time. So we should not get diverted also. So we should be careful about it. Okay. So any other question or comment? Anybody has any question or comment about reading Prabhupada's books? Okay. What about your... question that you have taken for research? Have you started that? Okay. So silence means what?
Silence is not too golden in this case.
Yeah, I think some devotees have started. Probably, I think Chintamani Mataji has started. Then Swati Mataji has also started. And Mithul Prabhu and Jigna Mata, I think they also started probably. So, okay, you know, anyways, but... yeah, I think, you know, obviously you all are outside now, so you can try to discuss, you know, and when you come back, you can start. Yeah.
Sure, Prabhuji.
I'll start it, Prabhuji.
Okay, great.
Content that come through later, because whatever I've searched, and I start reading it. So I was just able to get a little of it later.
Okay. Yeah, it's good. I mean, there are many references for certain questions, so you can keep collecting them. Okay, so any other question? I am not sure if devotees have taken this question of whether the Lord is transcendental. He has a transcendental personality. I don't know if any devotee has taken that question.
I have taken that question.
Oh, you have taken this transcendental personality?
I do.
Okay, good. So,
are you going to speak about it, little trouble today?
Even if I speak, that will be logical. It won't be, I won't be quoting any Shastra.
I'll get some stars.
Actually, for this question, you will get a lot of evidences. It is full of evidences.
To me, the question was the relationship between Radha and Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to quote the Shastras. Mm-hmm. But even in Srimad Bhagavatam, it has not been given very clearly. And it said that most of the details about the relationship between Radha and Krishna has been revealed by the Acharyas because of the direct the mercy of Lord, the direct knowledge that they have received through their connection with the Lord, right?
Actually, yeah, that is true, but even the Shastra also reveals the relationship. I mean, you know, you might not get that information in the Bhagavatam so much, but in other scriptures you will get that information.
Okay.
Let me do one thing. Let me also allow all of you. Like for example, if you know, if some devotees are more knowledgeable, more scholarly, then they can help other devotees also. Okay, so you can all ask questions and references to each other. If you get stuck at some point of, you know, then you can ask other devotees also in our group. You can also, I have already said, you can also ask other scholarly devotees outside of our group and take evidences from them.
Okay. I think that's a very fair approach.
It's a very fair approach because, you know, like, that's how we are supposed to be in Kali Yuga. You know, like, we have to give concession. Otherwise, I mean, see, I definitely do believe that because devotees, they have not read Prabhupada's books completely. That's the reason I think, obviously, I can understand what would be the situation. But for someone who has read Prabhupada's books once completely or multiple times, for them, these things should be very common, actually. You know, I mean, they don't even probably have to ask someone. They might ask for references in the sense that, you know, they might ask, you know, because probably they must have heard or they must have read somewhere, but they just want to find out that particular verse in the Shastra. So, you know, that is quite okay that you ask someone to give the exact location of that verse. But I think, you know, it all depends on one's capability, you know, how much they have read Prabhupada's books, how much. In fact, Prabhupada also, in his purports, if you have noticed one thing, he quotes a lot of Shastra. So, mostly each and every time, quoting from Upanishads, he's quoting from Puranas, many, many references he's given. So, from there also one can actually get. So, by reading Prabhupada's books also, one may get a lot of information.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you can also take help of, you know, Nirvika Mataji, and you can take help of Ujjwala Mataji. Chintamani Mataji also, she's well read. Sudhamani Mataji also, they have. So you can ask them, you know, you can refer to them, and if they are able to help, that is quite good. Otherwise, as a team also, you can do some research. See, we want to, if we get good evidences, you know, mostly from the Srutis, good amount of references, then my plan is that we want to actually publish a book on this. And, you know, we can approach the DBT if they can publish this and they can sell it in their, you know, stores, so in the temple. So it will be a wonderful service actually as a team. So I'm not just thinking of us, you know, like a group kind of a thing here. Basically, I want to, so this is a platform where we can actually reach out to the entire world. I mean, it's a very ambitious idea, but I mean, definitely at my level, very ambitious. I'm very insignificant, but as a team, we can, you know, do something. And I think it will give a lot of satisfaction and pleasure, this, that we are contributing something to Prabhupada.
Good.
Right? So you can take your time, you know, it is, the time is not so much of a restriction here, but we want to make sure that everything is very thorough in what we do. Okay? So, yeah, but obviously, you know, this 3 weeks, it cannot extend to 30 weeks. No, we want to make sure that, yeah, we have to see otherwise what will happen. Some other devotee will write a book on this, then our entire thing will be gone. Okay. Yeah, so anyway, okay. So any devotees are getting any questions, any practical questions or theoretical questions or Shastric questions? Any devotees can recollect? Okay. Let me ask about dreams. Question on dreams. Because this is what I recollect. Okay. Let me ask question on dream. That, so are the dreams of the spiritual master and of the Lord or the devotees, are they all real? Or are they just something which is to be taken in an ordinary way? So what do you think? Okay. I think what one can do is, one can first state what Prabhupada said about it, what Prabhupada mentioned about dreams. That is the first question. What, you know, because when Prabhupada was asked the same question, that are the dreams real of the spiritual master? So what did Prabhupada say about it? And second is that how do we understand, you know, if these are factual dreams or not? Okay, so all the devotees can say something. What they have heard, if they have read something. No one?
If the instructions of the spiritual master matches with the dream.
Instruction the spiritual master?
And the same thing comes in the dream, like for Prabhupada, what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, and then he came in his dream and he told him the same thing, take sannyas.
Okay, yeah, so that's a good example. That Prabhupada was instructed by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that he should preach in the Western countries. And the same instruction he also got in the dreams. Okay, so what are you saying? You are saying that if these dreams are coming, the instructions are coming in the form of dreams, then they should be taken as factual.
Means if the instructions are personally given and then they come in the dream.
Okay. Yeah, then they should be taken as factual. Okay, that's a good point. Any other input on this? No one has a dream? Okay, let me ask all the devotees. How many of you have got dreams of your spiritual master? Of Krishna, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Goswami Acharyas, or anything connected to devotional activity? How many of you have got dreams?
Is it advisable to share all these details openly, or one should?
No, you can just share if ever you have got any dream of your spiritual master or of, you know, some kind, something connected to bhakti.
Well, once I have got dream of Krishna.
Okay, so you saw Krishna in the dream?
Yeah, once only.
Oh. Jai Ho Prabhu. I think
but that was long back when I was like in my teens.
Okay. So you could actually see the transcendental form of Krishna, or you were just seeing some kind of image?
No, it was proper interaction with Lord.
Oh. Okay. Great. So. Okay.
But it was not a physical interaction. It was so that I mean, it's like more of a play that was happening, that kind.
Okay. And so do you feel that you saw Krishna in reality? Like, you know, like although you saw him in the
dreams, dreams always feel real.
I mean, no. What I'm saying is like you know, for example, see, we are seeing the details every day, and we are probably seeing. We also see Krishna's image, like, you know, every day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, and you know, okay. Actually, to be really honest, the darshan of Krishna, it will, without the state of bhava, one cannot have darshan of Krishna in Kali Yuga. And that basically means one will be invested with the Shakti of the Lord, which means Samvit and Ladini potency enters the heart of the devotee. So that is, technically speaking, that should be a state of one devotee. That when they are taking darshan of the Lord, the transformation has to be there immediately. Otherwise, okay, one is not supposed to have the darshan of the Lord. So, this is an explanation from the acharyas. Okay. So, basically, it means that you saw in the dream Krishna, and probably you saw something that you have previously seen somewhere. some kind of image or some kind of deity form that has probably manifested in the form of dream, right? So, okay. I mean,
if you're asking me, it's more like he's very much a person, and as if you know, oh yeah, he is definitely Krishna, and then there is some kind of a play that we are indulging in together.
Yeah, okay.
But that is could be because since childhood we have been going to school, Radhanath Bihari, so that iteration carries on. That is possible, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but still it is good. You know, at least you have dreamed about Krishna. That's good. Any other devotees, they have got experience of dreaming about anything connected to bhakti? None of you? None of you? You have not dreamt till now? I mean, it seems to be impossible, like, the devotees, they have not seen any dream connected to devotional service or to the Lord. Okay, how many of you dream actually? Because there are people who do not dream at all. If you are, see, I will tell you, if you are dreaming, if devotees are dreaming, in the normal course of their, you know, lifetime, if they are dreaming, right, like, you know, before coming to Krishna consciousness also, if they are dreaming, it is not possible that you will not get any dream connected to devotional service. It is not possible. If you are not getting any dreams right from the beginning, then maybe, you know, it is possible. But if you are dreaming, if you have the habit of dreaming, and if so, I can't believe that nobody has dreamt something connected to bhakti. It's impossible. Okay, I don't know. Devotees are not answering on their own. I have to ask individually. Vandana Mataji, have you got any dreams?
My dreams is as such, like I'm visiting temple, I'm doing darshan, but I'm not able to see the deity as such. Like, you know, but yeah, I'm going to Balaji or I'm going to some particular temple. Like.
Yeah, so you have bad dreams.
The bad dream, but I'm not seeing the deity also was not seen to me. Just I know that I'm going there. Like, I'm going there to get that.
Have you dreamt that you are chanting in the dreaming or you are speaking Krishna Katha in the dream, associating with devotees? You're going to, you know, in the yatra, you have gone to the yatras. Have you dreamt like that?
Not chanting and association. It is just I'm going to get darshan. Like lately, I want to go there and take darshan of Balaji. Like, you know. Because quite some time I'm not been there, so you can let us dream that I'm going there, like, you know, for having that experience.
Okay. Yeah, it's very. Okay, what about other devotees? Have they dreamt of that they're chanting in the dream or doing some Krishna Katha, Kirtan, or going to Yatras? Chintamani Mataji? Are you there, Mataji? Okay. Sudhamani Mataji? Okay, she has disconnected probably. Chintamani Mataji, are you there? Okay, Nirvika.
Generally, I don't remember too much of my dreams.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't remember having something of that sort of a dream.
But maybe some of the dreams you must have, like, at least one or two.
As I said, I mostly, when I get up in the when I sleep, I'm so tired, I just go, like, really deep in sleep. Even if I've had any dreams, I generally don't remember most of my dreams. Most of them, I generally don't remember only.
Okay. Okay, so now what do you know about, you know, Prabhupada's stand on dreams? Do you have any idea about what Prabhupada said about dreams?
Not that I might have. I don't remember anything as such that I might have read.
Okay. So see, first of all, Prabhupada said that he encouraged the devotees, if they got any dreams of the spiritual master or anything connected to Krishna consciousness, he encouraged that. But at the same time, he also said that dreams should be confirmed with the external form of the Guru, which is, you know, so he did mention that couple of times. And certain times he encouraged, saying that, okay, you have a nice dream and, you know, maybe the Lord is actually giving you mercy and that's how, you know, you are able to remember him. Because, see, dreams are generally the manifestation of our thoughts, impressions, and the remembrance of things. Okay, these are actually manifested in the form of dreams. So many times, you know, we see that the sadhana that we are doing now, it is actually coming in the form of dreams. Okay, now see, there is one thing very special about dreams. And that is that even though we are seeing ourselves in the dreams many times, doing sadhana, bhakti and all that, or maybe, you know, as devotees, because we are getting purified, so we also see some lusty dreams or certain things we are seeing in the dream which are kind of very fanciful in nature. They are like imaginary in nature, you know, which when we get up in the morning, then we'll feel, okay, you know, what I saw is actually not in reality, you know, and it can never be possible. So what happens is, you know, dreams are actually a combination of our present desires, our past desires, and our upcoming desires also. They all manifest in the form of dreams. So it's a combination of all these things together. And whoever is practicing Krishna consciousness, they also will actually experience with time that they are getting dreams about their own sadhana in the dream. Okay. And, you know, many times we get the dream of the spiritual master also. In fact, the devotees who keep advancing in spiritual life, you know, their material dreams start getting converted into spiritual dreams with time. And so, see, what I'm saying is that it's not necessary that the dreams might be true exactly, but at least what you are seeing in a material way, that starts transforming into a spiritual way. Which means that, you know, instead of, like, let's say, for example, initially you are, a fan of a Bollywood actor. So then you might be, you know, dreaming about that actor in the beginning stages. But after that, you come into Krishna consciousness, you start practicing, and you get detached from these, you know, movies and Bollywood actors and all that. And you get more attached to your spiritual master and devotees and all. Then you start getting dreams of your spiritual master and devotees more often than the Bollywood actor. Okay. So this is a transformation, and that is obviously definitely much better than having material dreams. So as the devotees, they will read the higher stages of Ruchi, Asakti and Bhava, the dreams become more reformed. It becomes very personalized also. In the sense that in the dream, like, you know, as Raji Prabhu was talking about, that once he saw Krishna in the dream. And I think this is not something to be... it's a sincere dream. You know, it's not a funny dream or a dream to be ridiculed. Because it is possible that, you know, we might see some form of the Lord in the dream. Although the transformation does not take place because definitely we are not at the state of Bhava. But when someone is at the state of Bhava, then they can have Sakshat Darshan of the Lord in the dream. Or they can have Darshan of the spiritual master also. And they can also receive instructions from the Lord and the spiritual master in the dream. But that's a very, very advanced platform. Okay. So now, for devotees who are at Sadhaka stage, below the state of Bhava, below the state of Asakti, for them, you know, it is they are thinking and doing in their practice of sadhana. So it will reflect that in the dream. Okay. But now it is not necessary that the dream is actually true. So Prabhupada made it very clear that as long as the Guru is present, you know, they have to conform with the Guru. Okay. Now, see, there are also certain dreams which a sincere devotee might get at lower stages of bhakti. You know, I would probably guess that, you know, if a devotee is going from another calibrated to the state of Ruchi, then these are sincere devotees. And they might get certain dreams which might be very circumstantial and very relevant dreams according to the time, place, circumstance. Okay. So these dreams, they might be real also. Because as like, you know, Chintamani Mataji was saying that, let's say your guru gave you instruction to do something, you know, external guru, you know, and what happens is, you know, in the, and if you, let's say for example, somehow if you are unable to do that and follow an instruction at a particular point of time, then the guru might come in the dream and remind you also a couple of times in the dream. So that is, that's a relevant dream and it can be taken as a reality. Okay. So, we have to definitely check and see the context of the dream in that particular situation. So if the dream is connected to a sequence of events that is happening to your life, okay, happening in your life, it is happening like you are in a, you know, misery, you are in a problem, dilemma, and then you have, you know, if you are very sincere, then you pray to the Lord. You pray to the spiritual master. And then, let's say, you get a dream and the spiritual master is addressing your dilemma. So that's a very relevant dream, you know. And one more thing is there, that we have to check the dream in terms of context and in terms of whether it is in the purview of Krishna consciousness or not. If it is beyond that, then it's not necessary that it is real. So, for example, if a spiritual master comes and tells you that you are chanting so much, like let's say a devotee is chanting, you know, more than 16 rounds every day. And the spiritual master comes and tells him in the dream that you don't have to chant 16 rounds also, you know, because you have been chanting so many rounds in the last so many years. So you don't have to chant 16 rounds. So this is a dream which we have to, which we can give benefit of doubt because it is not according to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Okay, so like you know, breaking the four attitude principles and not chanting 16 rounds, these should be done at any cost. Okay, so these, if someone is coming in the dream and telling you, then, and or you know, if you feel that the Lord has come in my dream and he is advising me to give up these things, then also it is doubtful. So then in that case, one has to confirm with Guru Sadhu Shastra. Okay, So basically, you know, the answer is that dreams are basically dependent more on context, you know, rather than, so I would not say that, okay, dreams only exist for advanced devotees. Only advanced devotees, they will get real dreams. It's not necessary. Even sadhaka devotees who are sincere devotees or who are progressing devotees, they can also get dreams and the Lord can inspire them or the spiritual master can inspire them. But, you know, it has to be taken into the context properly. If it is a relevant dream, then yes, then you can take it. If it's not a relevant dream, then okay, even the dream came, but somehow if I am not able to increase, advance in my Krishna consciousness, what is the meaning of the dream? What is the effect of the dream? What is the value of the dream? Even if Krishna personally comes and tells you certain things in the dream, then, but you know, okay, you are very fortunate that someone came in your dream and instructed you. But are you following that instruction? So we have to see the context, and we have to see the result also of that dream. That after getting the dream, if you are not willing to advance in spiritual life, or not willing to give up certain things, or not willing to follow that instruction, then there is no point of, see, there is no meaning of the dream. You know, although it came, you were fortunate at that point of time, but because you didn't actually follow anything, or you didn't make an attempt to advance, what is the use of the dream? Nothing. Right? So, actually, Krishna consciousness is more about using our free will to make advancement in spiritual life, and not to be dependent on these external things, like, you know, dreams or certain, if we are always waiting for mercy of the great Vaishnavas, but not making our own attempts in spiritual life, we are just dependent on the mercy of other Vaishnavas. That is not going to work. Mercy of Vaishnavas is always there. We just have to take it. So take it means, you know, we have to first make an attempt to follow that instruction. Otherwise, whatever you do, it is not going to have any, you know, you cannot be just dependent on other devotees. So you have to do some, you know, we have to do service, we have to please our seniors, you know, like our gurus, and we have to make, so then only we can make advancement. So the dreams can be inspirational if you get it. See, now then let's, you know, let's say that your spiritual master came into a dream, he told something to you, and it is within the purview of Krishna consciousness, and let's say it is not even contextual. He just came to a dream, he inspired you in the dream. Okay. And after that, you followed and you started working on that for your entire lifetime. Then the dream has real value. It has meaning. So you can say that, okay, yeah, it was a real dream, because, you know, that dream helped you advance in your spiritual life. Right? So,
what if you don't like remember your dreams? Like, I know, like, many people don't, but many times I don't remember my dreams. So what does that indicate? I'm sure I must be having some dream, but might be that I'm...
You don't have to bother about it, because you have your Gurujan with you currently, you know, and if Diksha Guru is not there, then Siksha Gurus are available. And Siksha Guru is not there, then Diksha Guru might be available. So the most important thing is to follow the instruction of a guru. Okay, and whether you are not getting a dream or not, it's a different matter altogether. If you are pleasing your Gurujan, with time, Krishna will make that arrangement. You know, Krishna, forget about dreaming, he will personally appear before you. As, you know, Srila Prabhupada says in the wonderful Bhagavatam purport that I shared, you know, in the group, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order is to actually preach. Everyone should preach in this sampradaya, because that is what Brahma also did. And he distributed this to Narada. Narada distributed to so many. And then what was the result of distributing this knowledge? That Vishnu personally came and he shaked his hand with Brahma. So he personally appeared before Brahma. Now Brahma, where did Brahma see Vishnu? In the purport Prabhupada writes, Brahma saw Vishnu not in Vrindavan, not in Vaikuntha. In fact, Vishnu manifested Vaikuntha where Brahma was sitting. So basically, he was sitting at the same place in his lotus flower. You know, from the navel of Vishnu, the lotus flower was there. Brahma was sitting there only. He did not go to Vaikuntha or, you know, Goloka or anywhere else, not to the spiritual world. He was in the material world and he saw the entire Vaikuntha. So, Prabhupada writes that the way Brahma, you know, saw the Lord, in the same way we also can see the Lord, if we follow in the footsteps of Brahma. So it is all about serving, following, and being loyal to one's Gurujan. And then, you know, if you are following what they are saying, then definitely Krishna will appear before you. So not only in the dreams, but he will personally appear before you. Okay, so the most important point is, you must be confident and satisfied, or other devotees should make you feel confident that you are properly following some authority in Krishna consciousness. If you are doing that, then definitely Krishna will manifest soon. There is no doubt about it. You know, as like it is mentioned in the Purana, that Krishna says that even if one worships me perfectly, but if he does it directly, then there is no guarantee that he will attain me. But if one worships my devotee and worships me imperfectly, then there is guarantee that person will attain me. So, again, Prabhupada is repeating this principle many times in his purpose, and he says that one, you know, if you are just connected to a devotee, by that devotee's grace, we can actually see the Lord very easily and very quickly. Okay, that is the shortcut. There is no other way. So one has to become a pet of a devotee of the Lord. And so if one does that, then obviously the Lord cannot deny. He has to come. And it's a very quick process also. It's a very quick process. So because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there, you know, he has made things very quick and easy for us through the mercy of Prabhupada. Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are actually our main connection. No, they are the main, they are the ones who are actually breaking barriers and, giving mercy to us. So, yeah, this is the principle of anything. See, ultimately I tell you one thing, that whether Krishna gives dreams to devotees or he does not give dreams to devotees, that is not so important. The important thing for every devotee is actually, and as I discussed earlier also, that some devotees might be getting dreams, but after the dream, what they are doing, a pure devotee, Madhavendra Puri, he got so many dreams of Krishna. And what he did, each and every dream, he followed the instructions of the Lord. He did not say that, he did not start boasting about himself that, the Lord appeared to me in the dream so many times. He told me this, he told me that. But then, I did not do anything. So what is the meaning and use of that kind of dream? Right? But whenever he got a dream, he wanted to follow. He actually made serious attempt to follow the instruction of the Lord. He went beyond expectation of the Lord. That's actually a real pure devotee. They will break the barriers and they will go to any extent to fulfill the desire of the Lord. That is real devotional service. Okay. So we have to be, we should be aware of these principles. How much we are willing to follow. Now, if some devotees are getting the dream or not, that is immaterial. But if they are humble and if they are following, that is the most safest position. And one more thing is there, that Krishna will make certain devotees experience the feeling of separation, because in that, like Prabhupada says many times, that Krishna, you can't see Krishna, and Krishna will make you, he will make you wait for a long time, because your burning desire should increase, the separation should increase. Then in that separation you will see Krishna, because the most exalted way of worship of the Lord is basically to experience the separation of the Lord. And so even if you don't see the Lord in the dream or you don't get these kind of experiences, that should actually increase your hankering for serving the Lord more, or to basically see the Lord in the future. That greed has to be developed. So you attain the mercy of devotee, you get everything. That is the principle. Right? Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So other devotees, Any question or comment? Who is there? Raji Prabhu, Mataji, Vandana Mataji, are you all? Yeah, or are you all dreaming? Well, Prabhuji, I think he has already probably gone. Okay. So, you have any question? Vandana Mataji, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm there.
Okay, good. So you all are awake. Actually, you know, Prabhupada says many times that what we are doing, I mean, you know, this current condition that we have is a dream. You know, because we realize that we are never in the material world when we go to the spiritual world. Or when we realize that we are actually in the spiritual world, we will feel that, okay, it was a dream, whatever we are doing. So, okay, so I think we can end for the day because, you know, I think all the devotees have to go take rest now. And so we can continue next time. If you have any questions in the mind at the particular point of time, then you can just post in the group so we can actually, you know, keep discussing them. Otherwise, you just have to wait for devotees asking questions. So you can just make a list of 2-3 questions, whatever you have. Can post in the group and we'll discuss that. Okay, all right. So, so special thanks to Vandana Mataji, Rajiv Prabhu, Angel Mataji. I really appreciate, and obviously to Anju Mataji also she couldn't join, but at least she had a desire to join, so that is really appreciated.
Prabhuji, we could attend it like in a 1-year class. Difficult to miss it.
No. Okay. Anyways, that's, you know, something that the credit goes to the Gurujans, you know, because of whom I am able to say something. And but you know, it's so encouraging, and I feel so enthusiastic that to actually associate with devotees who are so enthusiastic to hear. You know, that is actually the main thing. So that keeps me going on, actually, you know, to share more and more and to learn also more and more. Okay, all right. So thank you all the devotees for joining. Hare Krishna, Dhanva Pranam.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Dhanva Pranam.